Good morning, church. Good morning, my name's Lois, and together with Steve, Sean and I, we are the lead team here at FCC. Welcome if it's your first time or if we've not had a chance to meet, then it's lovely to see you at church today. And if you're watching online, I hope you're comfortable and you've got a good cuppa to keep you going. So I asked our Sunday team this week their answer to that question. Here's some of their answers. Some of them would like more time in the day. Some of them, and I like this one, more days in the weekend. Genius. Some of them would like more world peace. Absolutely. More direction, more opportunities, more holidays. Amen. Then we got specific. Somebody would like more M&S cookies. We don't have the budget for that here. But keep giving and we'll see what happens. And someone would like more chicken wings. That was definitely my fiancé that put that one in. Now, why don't we have a quick vote of what we would like more of? Hands up if you would like more time. Yeah, a few people need more time. Who would like more money? There we go, come on. Who would like more energy? Yes, yeah, yeah. Even that was like, yeah. Okay, off the back of that then, who would like more sleep? Yes. Who would like more confidence? All the shy people are like, yeah. It is I. Who would like more happiness? Anyone? Yeah, it's all right to admit that. Yeah, yeah. Anyone need a bit more patience? Double hands for me on that front. Anything else that you want to shout out what you want more of? Did we miss? More Hoover? Pizza! Amen, sister. Love that one. Can't get better than that. I'm sure that most of us can think of at least one thing that we would like more of. Maybe you've had a really good meal and you got to the end and you thought, oh, I wish I could just have one more bite. Or maybe you went on a holiday that went too fast and you wish I could just have one more day. Or maybe the kids woke up really early and you lay there and thought, just one more hour of sleep. We all long for something more. We hope for more. We desire more. Now, young people, I've got a challenge for you today. You will need a piece of paper and a pen or your phone, if you're allowed one. The challenge is this. I need you to keep a tally chart, keep a record of how many times in this message, from this point on until the end of my talk, that I say the word more. And I will use it more than you might think. So, here we go. See, the reason you're going to hear the word more a lot today is because we are starting today a new teaching series called There Must Be More. And one of the most common questions that people ask, either when they're like starting to question life or God or faith or when they're having an existential crisis, they may well ask the question, is there more to life than this? And we believe the answer is yes. There is more. There is more life and more to life than any of us have experienced so far. So whether you don't actually identify as a Christian, whether you're considering it, or whether you firmly do follow Jesus, we still believe there is more for you, more to life and more to faith for you to experience. There is more of Jesus. There's more transformation, more freedom, more healing, more breakthrough. So the heart behind this series is really simple. We want more. We want to awaken this holy longing within us for more of Jesus. Now, perhaps you are at the stage of just considering whether God is even real, or if God is good, or if God is for you. Our prayer is that you will experience more of God through your searching. And if you are a Christian who maybe your faith has grown a bit comfortable, maybe even a bit stagnant, then our prayer for you is that you will experience more of Jesus that will reawaken your spiritual life. So wherever you are, we want to invite you to embark on this journey with us as we seek God for more in this season. So each Sunday until the end of May, we are going to look at a practice or a posture, a way of life that helps us to experience more of God. But this isn't just for Sundays. We're inviting you in your personal lives to spend more time with Jesus too. So more time with Jesus could look like maybe a couple of minutes each morning for the next 6 weeks. More time with Jesus for you might look like consistency rather than length or time. It could be that you're going to spend more time reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, more time listening to worship music. This is about finding any way to proactively spend more time with Jesus. And then the final way that we are seeking God for more is that throughout May, we are going to have more gatherings. He is the dates of our more gatherings. So what's going to happen is once a week throughout May, we are going to meet on the morning on Zoom to read the Bible and to pray. And then we will meet here in the building in the evening of that day to worship and pray together too. So you might want to take a photo of that because here are the dates. What we've done is we've switched the day up of the week so that hopefully you could come along to at least one of them. So the first one will be on Wednesday, the 6th of May, then on the following Thursday, then on the Tuesday, then on the Thursday. These are the dates for our more gatherings. We really hope, and if possible, that you'll be able to create some space in your diary to join us at one of these or all of them. So here's the invitation. For the next 6 weeks, will you give this a go? Will you join us at these more gatherings, either on Zoom or here in the building? Will you consider what more time with Jesus could look like for you? Will you commit to trying these practices, these postures? And let's just see what God might do. Because I have this like sense in my spirit, this hopeful anticipation that we are standing on the edge of something really significant that's about to happen. I feel in my sense like we are just one knock away from something that God has for us as a church and in our personal lives as well. So I hereby, amen, Freya, thank you. I hereby dedicate this month of May, and I suppose the rest of April, as the month of more. Who's believing for it? There we go, let's go. How many mores have I mentioned so far? Have I reached 50? 30, okay, here's the deal. If we get to 100, the coffees are free. They're on me in the hub today. Maybe even the biscuits too. They might be free every week, but they're free again today. So keep adding, because there will be more. There we go. Now, before we can add anything more to our lives, sometimes we have to clear some space. So last week, I was sorting out one of the cupboards here at church. Does anyone else love a good sort out and a good spring clean? Isn't it therapeutic? Oh, so we should hang out more. Oh, we'd have a great time sorting out these cupboards. This cupboard, this one in particular, had descended into chaos. And it bordered on slightly dangerous, to be honest with you. And it had been on my to-do list for many months. And I was sorting it out because we needed more space. And to create more space, I had to get rid of some stuff. Some broken things, some unused things, some dusty, dirty things. Some things that once served a purpose once upon a time, but definitely don't anymore. And it's strange maths, I know, but to gain, I had to subtract. And it's the same for us spiritually. If we want more of Jesus, there will be some things that we will need to let go of to clear space for more of him. So the first few weeks of this series are going to be about what we need to clear out to make room for more. And the first thing today that we're going to look at clearing out and removing is like the clutter that can build up inside of us that's made of secrets and sin and shame. So we're starting with a nice light topic. Bet you're excited for that one. But before we get into that one, I would love to know. My fiance tells me that I start many questions with, have you ever wondered? To which he says, I've never wondered that, no. So let's just try it with friends here today. Have you ever wondered what accent God has? To which he'd go, no. I just sometimes imagine, like, what if God was a Scouser or a Brummie or a Scot, I don't know. Anyway, I wonder that because I wonder if you've ever audibly heard the voice of God. God speaks in many different ways. God speaks through scripture and through the words that are written down in the Bible, which we believe are the words from God. God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through dreams, through pictures, through visions. God can speak through people, giving prophetic words. God can speak through creativity and music and art. God does speak, and sometimes he even speaks audibly. But I've only actually experienced this, I think, one time in my life where I've heard the distinct, audible voice of God. That time was about 10 years ago. I was living and working down south at the time, but I had come back up home to the promised land of the north just briefly for Christmas, and my family were all together. We were enjoying the day, stuffing our faces on Christmas dinner. But just to set some context, for quite some time, I had been living like quite inconsistently, presenting one version of myself outwardly, but dealing with some really personal challenges and decisions that I'd been keeping from my loved ones. And I remember this moment in our kitchen. I remember distinctly hearing a voice. It was a voice that I could only explain that must be God's, because nobody else heard it. And the voice said, "It's time. Lois, it's time." Those words and God's voice were crystal clear, and I knew exactly what he meant. It was time to be truthful. It was time to bring what I'd been hidden, what I'd been keeping in the dark, and bring it into the light. It was time for confession. Did I want to do it? No. Did I want to hurt my people by telling them the truth? No. Did I want to have to admit and expose some things? No. I knew it would be difficult, both for me and the people around me. But I also had this sense and recognized that being honest was necessary if I wanted to move forward and experience more. Did I want freedom? Yes. Did I want to be forgiven? Yes. Did I want healing? Yes. So I did it. I began to confess and began to open up about things that were going on in my life, and the process was uncomfortable and not very straightforward. And things were difficult for a while before they could improve. And it's a bit like when you fall over as a kid, and you know when you get a graze, but it's been a nasty graze in some gravel, so you've got like tiny little bits of stone and like rubble in there. Now what you could do, I suppose, is you could whack a plaster on it, kiss it better, and carry on. Or we can clean that wound out properly before patching it up. And cleaning the wound deeply sometimes hurts more than the fall itself, doesn't it? Oh, the sting of the antiseptic wipe. Oh. But it's the only way that it really deeply heals. You know, confession is just like that. It stings, but it will heal. My experience of confession was similar. It stung, but it healed me too. There was a lot of pain in confession, but it made room for more healing. There was some embarrassment in confession, but it made room for much more forgiveness. There was loss in confession. There were some things that I needed to let go of, but it made room for so much more than I could ever ask or imagine. And that doesn't mean that things were fixed instantly. There was consequences to our actions, isn't there? There was rebuilding to be done. There was a lot of therapy needed, so much therapy. In fact, confession was the start of the journey. You see, confession is like the doorway to repentance. It's just about taking that first step in actively turning away from some things. And I knew that for as long as I kept things hidden in the dark, kept them to myself, and tried to deal with it on my own, there was no space in my life for the more that Jesus had for me. So confession was the start of a journey towards more life, more love, and more freedom. And I want you to experience that today. You see, if we were to look at examples throughout the Old and the New Testament, we will see that time and time again, when God tells us to confess, he also prepares us to make space to receive something too. So Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 puts it like this. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. James chapter 5, this is in the New Testament of the Bible, he puts it like this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then later in the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess, he is faithful. He will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confess and receive healing. Confess and receive forgiveness. Confess and receive mercy. Through confession, we make space to receive the more that God has for us. Now, we have a memory verse this week, which I want to encourage you to read it and repeat it every day this week and see if you can start to remember it. You might want to save it as a wallpaper on your phone. You might want to post it on your community group, WhatsApp group, whatever you need to do to get this verse inside of you. This is our memory verse from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We're going to read that again, and I wonder if you would read it with me. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, God invites us to confess with confidence, assuring us that we will be greeted with mercy and with grace. So yeah, if I'm honest, like the conversations I needed to have, they were not pretty. And confession often can be awkward. It can be costly. It can be painful. But it is just the start of a process of clearing out some secrecy or some sin or some shame that may have cluttered up our hearts in order to receive more of Jesus. And I guess in its simplest form, confession is telling the truth, the whole truth, hiding nothing. I feel like there's a courtroom sentence similar. Well, the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. There we go. That new is in there. Telling our whole truth, that's what confession is. And telling our whole truth through confession, that's going to look different in different ways and forms that will be appropriate to the situation. I should probably take this opportunity to confess to Gabe that all of the empty biscuit wrappers in the kitchen cupboard, they are all me. Sorry about that. They are all. If you buy them, I will eat them. I have very little self-control when it comes to biscuits. They control me. Sometimes confession will just be about admitting our weaknesses. It might even involve admitting weaknesses that might be a bit more important than the biscuits. Part of the confession process might be about having an honest conversation with your loved ones and bringing some things into the light. Confession can also look like seeking out therapy. It might look like talking to a trusted person, a leader, a friend, about things that you're struggling with. But where confession can begin for each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we're at in life, what we've done, what we've not done, we can always practice confession by telling God our whole story. And let's remember that memory verse. It reminds us that we're invited to come to him and tell him our whole story without fear and without shame, but in confidence. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace. And you might be thinking, well, why do I need to confess to God? Like, if God is God, doesn't he already know my whole story? And you would be right. God is both omnipresent and omniscient, so he's everywhere. He knows everything. He sees all that we do. He hears everything that we say, even the thoughts that we probably shouldn't have thought. He knows everything that we've ever done. So why would we need to tell God? Why would we need to tell him our whole story? Well, confession isn't about us informing God. It's about letting God transform us. Confession isn't about us informing God. It's about letting God transform us. It is choosing honesty and humility. It's surrendering our pride and choosing to trust God with the parts of our life that can hurt. Because God doesn't need your confession, but he does want it. He knows you at your worst, and he still invites you close. He longs to be the listening ear that you can honestly open up to. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. So even at your worst, God loved you. Knowing everything you'd ever think, say, and do, he still died for you. So telling him about your thoughts or your worries or your doubts or your fears, they won't change how he feels about you. We don't have to confess, but we get to. We get to bring our whole story to a loving God who loves us so much. And we can trust that we will be met with mercy and grace from God. That is his promise. Now, of course, we could also choose not to. We could choose not to practice confession. We could choose to keep things to ourselves, keep what's hidden hidden. And do you know what will happen? Nothing. Nothing will happen. Nothing will change. Nothing will grow. Nothing will heal. But if we choose to vulnerably and boldly open up to God, and when it's wise and when it's right, open up to appropriate people as well, we clear out the secrecy and the shame that the enemy would love to trap us with. And we make space to receive his freedom and his healing. Now, do you know what really grinds my gears? It winds me up. You know when you've had a really good sort out and it looks nice and clean, it's working well, and then a few days or weeks later you come back and it's a mess again? So annoying, isn't it? Well, if we were to confess, if we were to bring things into the light and then go back to living the same way we did, that same thing would happen. Suddenly, the clutter would build right up again. Confession is the start of an ongoing process. So just like after a sort out, if we make some small changes and keep on top of it, it will stay tidy. We can do that in our own lives as well. We can stay on top of things, make some small changes, and make lasting change in our lives. Like my precious cupboard that I have tidied, I've checked in on it every day this week. I've cared more about that than I have about myself, if I'm honest. Just to keep a close eye and think, check that it's still tidy. Now, similarly, there are going to be an option for two different responses today. So one of the responses might be that you know there are some little daily check-ins that you can start to do in your spiritual life, just to keep on top of staying accountable, staying transparent, and staying honest. So if that's you, I want to invite you to begin a daily practice of confession. Now, you don't need to worry. I am not going to be ringing you every morning saying, please confess your sins to me. All I want to invite you to do is this. End each day this week with Jesus. End each day this week with Jesus. And some of you might already do this. Some of you might try to end the day with Jesus and get as far as dear God and then have fallen asleep, just to be transparent. So you might want to find a time that's earlier in the evening so that you don't fall asleep on Jesus. to set aside some intentional time to end each day with Jesus. Now, here's what it could look like. Thank him for the highs. Confess the lows. So acknowledge where your thoughts, where your words, where your decisions may have fallen a bit short. Receive his grace and start again tomorrow. Because that's the thing with grace. We get to move on. His mercies are new every day. If we get it wrong, we come to him and we go again. So thank him for the highs, confess the lows, receive his grace, and start again tomorrow. Now, some people call this the daily examine. And if it helps, there's an app that I've started to use that has been so helpful. So if you're a techie person, then I would tell you to download this app, Lectio 365, because it guides you through this prayer for about 10 minutes. So it can help you to thank him for the highs, confess the lows, receive his grace, and then go to bed, and then start again tomorrow. Now, you might want to journal out your daily prayers. You might want to speak it out. You might want to pray it with a loved one. However you do it, this week, the practice is end each day with Jesus. Bring him your honesty, your humility, and your confession. And as we do this, we will see that space is created for us to experience more of him. But it might be that your response today is, you know, like I knew that time, that you need a big, deep clean, declutter. You are like needing a hazmat suit and a big skip, because maybe there are some big things that you need to sort out or to bring out in your life. Maybe there's some deeply hidden things that you know maybe need to be brought into the light. And if your heart is racing, or if there is a situation right at the forefront of your mind that you're hyper aware of right now, then this will probably be your response. And if that is you, I just want to echo the words that God said to me. It's time. It's time for freedom. And it's time for mercy. And I have been there, and I know how scary that feels. So I also want to hug you and look you in the eye and tell you I'm proud of you and tell you that mercy awaits you on the other side of confession. And if you could just trust that God loves you so much, he has so much more life and freedom for you than you could ever ask or imagine. So wherever you fit, and whatever you're carrying, and whatever your response needs to be today, don't forget, confession isn't the end. It's the start of a journey towards receiving more. It's the start of a journey towards repentance and transformation and obedience to God, where we begin to close the gap between who we are and who we're called to be. I'm going to invite the band up. And as they come, I'm just going to read our memory verse one more time. Let us, church, approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.